Welcome to Abdelrahim El-Kib, Libya's new interim prime minister.
Thank you.
Some see you as a low-key technocrat. You've got an impressive professional profile, but what will you bring to this role as a politician?
The interim government is meant to be for approximately 8 months, plus or minus, if needed. Hopefully we'll get the job done before, if we can. I don't think you need a politician as such. Professional politician. You need a practical person who understands the environment around him or her, who is willing to stay at the same distance from all partners, somebody who is inclusive, somebody who holds no grudges, somebody who can get the job done. I have held some management positions, and I think with help from my colleagues, my fellow Libyans, and many of those who have the same interest in getting peace and security in Libya, I think we'll get the job done within the period assigned.
Under the blueprint set out by the NTC, you have until the 23rd of November to form an interim government. Can you maybe go into more detail to explain what direction this will take?
The NTC has decided on a criteria for selecting the next or the upcoming government members. The first one is patriotism, someone who has shown that he or she does care about this country that has been under a brutal dictator for 42 years. We also consider the fact that the person has the capability, has a proven record of leadership to be one other criteria. The third is we need to have people who have clean records, people who have not been judged as being untrustworthy. And then we also have another criteria, and that is the person to be considered should not have been a major player in the past regime. What we mean with that is a figure that had participated directly or indirectly killing or hurting Libyan people, someone who has not had any financial dealings that would disqualify him or her. If all are satisfied, then we start looking at the distribution over the whole country, different regions and all that. And we also would consider age to be a factor if all the above was considered. Obviously, women will be given the opportunity seriously and will be looked at seriously. Definitely, we would like to have them involved because we consider them to be major players in the upcoming future.
You've said that human rights is going to be a priority. What are you going to do for human rights? In some places like Misrata, for instance, there are ongoing allegations that abuses continue.
I guarantee you, we had some vacuum in the past few months. We had the previous cabinet or executive office. They had lots of issues, challenges to deal with. I think we understand the situation better now. Once we have the government in place, we will definitely do the best we can, which I think will be as effective as anyone would want it to be, to stop such cases from happening in the future. And we will definitely look at what has been happening in the past.
There's been a lot of questions raised about the issue of Sharia law and maybe also some scaremongering. Maybe you can set out your position on this issue.
You know, look, Mr. Daniel, we're Muslims. And when we say we're Muslims, we don't mean it in a negative way. I personally have lived, and I guarantee you most of the Libyans have lived among Muslims as well as friends and families that belong to other religious or other faiths. We never had any problems when we lived it together. What is meant there, we will not have the extremism that our friends and colleagues in the West are worried about. This is not Libya. The Libyans, yes, indeed, they are Muslims, but they are Muslims who have lots of respect for people of other faiths. I don't think we will have a problem with that. When we talk about Sharia law, I think people misunderstand the concept. It is not meant to be an extremist approach to things.
It's really a matter of scaremongering by the Western media.
Yes.
You've spent decades abroad as an opponent of Gaddafi, and now you're back in Libya. Maybe you can give us a sense of your feelings and your emotions now that you are essentially the head of a government which is going to be driving a new Libya forward.
I tell you, my friend, I have never had a better night of sleep than the one when I first came into Tripoli after liberation. This was a tremendous feeling, a feeling that Libyans can do it. Never doubted that, but I saw it happen. It was a feeling that made me proud of being a part of these people. I think the Libyan people were as peaceful. peaceful as you can imagine. It's very unfortunate that they were pushed to hold arms, but again, it's a brutal dictator that has done so much against human rights, against his own people. Gosh, what a relief. It was a fantastic feeling. It continues to be. I can walk in the streets of Tripoli or Benghazi or Misrata or Homs or Tobruk or Beida or Kufra or Sebha or anywhere in Libya, and I see smiling faces, genuinely enjoying the fact that they are free. It's fantastic. I hope we get to a point where people can feel even better after they see security and stability taking place completely.
Would you have any message for the other four candidates who unfortunately didn't make the grade in the vote?
I know each and every one of them. They have lots of credentials. Any one of them could have been able to do the job. I am seriously considering the fact that definitely we will work together. At what level is something that I'm seriously looking at. And I would like to invite them, and I did in fact, to work together. These issues that we are about to start handling are issues that are bigger than just one person. We need everybody's effort, their capabilities, their strong will to get Libya on track is very important. And I will not hesitate to do whatever it takes to get them to continue to contribute and maybe even at a higher level.
Thank you for joining us on RFI, Abdelrahim El-Kib, Libya's new interim prime minister.
You're quite welcome.